Hi, welcome to your daily fix of what's great to have a look here at the Edinburgh Fringe. So I'm right in the centre of it at the moment, here in Grassmarket. We've got the bagpipers playing in the middle, and I've caught up with one of the members of Battle Axe here. They're performing at 8:15, at quite close to where I'm standing at the moment. They're doing improv, and I was just curious to know, is it terrifyingly scary to do improv, or is it something that perhaps you get better at, or any tips for people who might want to try it themselves? Should they just go for it, or is there a way you can prepare at all?
Hi Lita, it's I guess sometimes terrifying, but the great thing about improv is that even if you make a massive mistake, it's hilarious. Or at least it should be, if you're doing improv comedy. So the main thing is just to embrace whatever happens. You have to be open to everything, say yes to everything. That's the fundamental principle. But the main thing is that if you crash, you need to make sure that you burn enormously. And that way, at least your audience will be entertained. I mean, the audience like to see you being clever. They like to see you being funny. They like to see you being good. But sometimes, as we all know, drama is conflict. And one of the best things to see is people really, really struggling. And that creates schadenfreude, which is delight at the misfortune of others, as fans of Avenue Q will be aware.
I love that. It's just so inspiring. If you're going to crash, then do it quite spectacularly. And I just wondered how much this connects up to some of the work that I've seen you write, actually, here at the Fringe a few years ago, The Perils of Love and Gravity. And that went on at a really prestigious venue here, the Bedlam Theatre, which is a permanent theatre in Edinburgh. So you've got the improvisation skill, definitely. That's amazing. And Michael Keane, you're performing in Battle Axe in just an hour or so from now. But how does that relate to writing? Is it a connected sort of inspiration, or where do you get your ideas for writing from?
I think writing, and I think you'd know a lot more about it than I do, but one of the things with that show, and probably shows in general as you progress, is kind of knowing who your audience is, where the show's going. I think for somewhere like Edinburgh, you need to be aware, most shows are an hour, so you're kind of looking at, well, what kind of story do I want to tell? Who are my characters? Even things like the aesthetic of a show can be massive. And if you know your venue, or you know which venue you want to be on at, like Bedlam is a great venue, and it was a pleasure to do the show there. I'd been in a show there the previous year, so the people who made the show, we knew the venue, and we knew many of the people there, we knew the audience there, and so all of that was able to feed into the process. The thing I think about writing, and again, you're a much more prolific and accomplished writer than I am, but there's a phrase in acting, and also in Friends, the TV show, that acting is reacting, and that does not mean acting again. But I think writing is rewriting, and that does mean writing again. Redrafting is like if you can just sit down and write The Homecoming or Much Ado About Nothing or whatever, good luck to you. But 99% of us can't do that. You have to. But I don't think you can lose heart from, you know, if you've got an idea. I think planning is very, very helpful for me. I like to make a plan, you know, beat it out. Pacing is important because you've got to hold an audience's attention. They're not going to be as tired, and the room's not going to be as stuffy at the beginning, so you maybe don't need as much action then. You know, how do you set up your climax? All kinds of these things play into it, and I think there's an element of patience, which I think a lot of the time as artists, we just want to get on, do it now, have it finished, have it done, pick up the award and the millions of pounds. But the truth is that it just doesn't work that way. And sometimes you've got something sitting in a drawer for months or years. But I think one thing that's, whenever I've sort of become frustrated with a project, that it's not in a short space of time become the amazing great piece of work, then you have to go, okay, I'm a little bit tired of it now, so I'm just going to put it away. It's a bit like if, you know, you might love broccoli, but, you know, you have it for a fortnight every night, and you go, do you know what, I'm not going to have any more broccoli now for maybe a month. And it's, I think it's similar with developing a piece of art. There comes a point where you're so saturated, sometimes you have to leave it. And another thing I think that you can draw heart from, well, two things combined. Firstly, to begin with, you were inspired enough to start work on this, so there, it does bear something for you. But secondly, I'm sure, especially here at the Fringe, loads of us have come out of a theatre or just finished a TV show or a radio show or whatever and gone, yeah, that was okay, but I could have done a lot better with it. If you get to a certain point with a piece of work and you go, well, it's not great, fine, leave it and then come back to it, and you'll actually, you know, it just, but with fresh eyes, you'll be able to approach it anew and go, ah, now I know how I can improve it. Or, it, you know, looking at it objectively, then here's how I'd rearrange it.
That's a brilliant tip, actually, just to leave it for a while and come back when you actually know how you're going to improve it. Because I think I've certainly been guilty of coming back too soon, and you can make a right mess of, you know, diving in too soon. I've been lucky enough to watch you on TV as well, Michael Keane, on The Hollow Crown, and, you know, to have such success so early in your career. I just wondered, you know, after coming out of drama school on a slightly different note, do you have any tips for people who perhaps haven't got that first job yet, or perhaps would like to upgrade perhaps some of the sort of unpaid work they're doing on the fringes? Any sort of tips of how actors fresh out of drama school could sort of get themselves seen or get out there?
Yeah, it's tough, definitely. And the, you know, the first few shows that I did out of drama school, they were fringe, they were unpaid. And I was lucky that some of them were really good. It helps to look busy. And if you're doing stuff, whether you are making your own work with your friends, and it, you know, can be theatre, or it can be podcasts, or we're really lucky now that any of us can just make a web series in our bedroom and it's available to an audience of a million people. But actually, you have to be quite careful with that, because people can see it. Whereas if you do a teeny tiny show that runs for a week and you know that the casting directors from the National are very unlikely to go to it, then you're in the fortunate position that it might actually, even if it's not very good, it's going to be over in a week, and then they might call you in and say, oh, you did that show, and you go, yeah, it was absolutely brilliant, it was a total triumph, sold out every night, rave reviews, yeah, we're looking for transfer, but everybody's just so busy off the back of it, we're not sure if we'll be able to mount it again. But it's like, it sounds basic, but it's good for your spirit as much as anything else. If you became a creative in the hope of getting rich, quit now. But, you know, you didn't do it for that reason. You have to stay busy, partly for your own sanity and integrity, but also it gives you momentum, it gives you something to talk about. And there's no guarantee of, you know, there's no career ladder in this. You might be working on a feature film 1 week, and then a fortnight later, you are doing that small show above a pub. Maybe you've been given the license to do that because you got paid last week for doing a feature film. But it's not like, oh, now I rise to the next executive ladder. You're not working in that kind of office structure. It will change your environment all the time. But in terms of just getting off the ground, you have to stay busy and let people know that you're busy.
Brilliant. That's just amazing advice, and it's something we can all get up and do. So you're going to have to get dash soon, because I know you're performing very soon in Battle Axe. It's a real hit every year at the Fringe. It always gets great reviews, and this year is no exception. So a little bit about that, where it's performing, and anything happened that's kind of interesting so far with the Battle Axe?
Well, we've only done 3 shows. We actually skipped the Fringe last year, which is our first time since, I'm going to say, 2010 or maybe 9. We've been coming here for years and years and years. It's on the free Fringe, which means that we don't charge you to come in. We do charge you to leave. But obviously you don't have to pay. It's just anything goes. We've had some pretty big houses, raucous crowds over the weekend, of course. And the main thing I always tell people about the show is that it's entirely based on audience suggestions. So if the audience don't enjoy it, they've only got themselves to blame. And but yeah, we go out there with just a few structures and it's organized chaos. Nobody knows what's going to happen. And to be honest, it's a total enigma because none of us knows what's going to happen in the show, but people come in because it's different every night. People come back as well, and we've got a bit of a loyal following at the festival, and it's quite nice actually as an alternative to maybe the structured theatre making rehearsal room business. We've also got some I love doing podcasts, Lita, and it's a joy to be on this one. We're also making our own one for the BBC. So if you are in Edinburgh on the 20th of August, we don't perform on Mondays, but we will perform that Monday at the BBC Gardens. We've got two shows for Radio 1, and we've got another four shows in September back in London. So if you're not coming up, you can make it to London. Keep an eye on at Battle Act. We've got Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, BATTLEACTS, and all the details will go up there as and when.
Oh, that's wonderful. So they are recommended by The Independent on Sunday, Time Out, and a Smirnoff Hot Pick. It's an award-winning multi-five-star comedy show, getting rave reviews as they're here now in the Fringe. Five-star reviews all across. And 3 weeks have said spontaneous one-liners that most comedians couldn't have written given a week. Thank you so much, Michael Keane, for all those tips and inspiration. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.